Welcome to 2819. I'm Sandra Dimas.
And I'm Brian Rollenbacher.
And our theme for today's show is using science for evangelism. That's such a major component of Reasons to Believe, the ministry that produces this show. So I'm really excited to hear about the things we're going to be talking
about.
That's
right. Our founder, Hugh Ross, that's actually how he started doing evangelism, is giving evidence, looking at it from a scientific perspective. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get a little bit of that origin story and some of the different topics and questions that he would bring up, but then probably a lot more too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know, in Everyday Apologetics, we're going to hear from Dr. Eddie Del Rio, and he's going to be talking about the harmony between science and Christianity. That's such a good conversation that they're having.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
In Science Faith Connection, Jeff Swearink and astrophysicist Hugh Ross are going to tackle the question, does science prove God?
But first up is Culture Talk. I'm going to be interviewing Michael Lewis, who is a documentary filmmaker, and we're going to be talking about his journey from atheism to faith. Let's check it out. Now it's time for Culture Talk, where we talk about culturally relevant topics that you can use to start conversations about your faith. And I'm joined today with Michael Lewis, Director of Universe Design. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm excited to have you here. You actually were an atheist, and you came to faith. How recent was that?
This was about 5 years ago.
5 years ago. Okay, so let's talk about that. Like, what was it that kind of kept you in atheism for most of your adulthood?
So I kind of always grew up just as an unbeliever, never really thinking there was evidence for God, and never even really caring to look. Because you would always see the Christians on the street corners that would say, you're going to hell with the megaphones.
Which is like super inviting, right?
Right, exactly. So my perspective on Christians, that's pretty much all it was. That was the Christians. What they believed was false, because how can Christianity be compatible with science?
Mm-hmm.
And then one day my wife comes to me and she says that she feels like Jesus is calling her back. And she starts going to church. And just to be nice, I'll go with her.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around the congregation. I'm like, yeah, I see how this is good for some people. I just don't believe it's true.
Right.
But once she started trying to challenge me, asking why I didn't believe. And so I hit her with the difficult questions, really hard questions that she wasn't able to answer, so much so that I was almost pulling her back away from the church.
Oh, wow.
Finally, well, she kind of... Oh, go ahead.
Let's dive in. What were some of those questions?
Why would God allow evil and suffering? What about evolution? Isn't evolution incompatible with Christianity? Hasn't the Bible been changed over time? How do we know what we're reading today is the same text that was originally written? And how do we know that it's actually inspired by God? What about all the different religions out there? How do you know that Christianity is the one true religion? Questions like that. And she just wasn't able to answer. So finally she kind of was like, I'm sorry, I can't answer your questions. You're just going to have to try to discover for yourself. And she led me to a theologian, which helped answer a few. But then, as I was actually just on YouTube. I wasn't even searching anything about Christianity. And one of Hugh Ross's videos popped up. And I clicked on it, and it was the video of him going over just the creation days and his perspective on the creation days. And that moment was a moment when I thought, okay, this may have a little bit of merit behind it. And from there on, this was about a three-year journey from that point of me just studying and trying to find answers. Trying more so to prove my wife wrong, and in the process end up proving her right. So that's kind of how my journey went. It was not a blind faith, put my all my belief into one subject or one belief system just blindly. It took a lot of research and a lot of work actually investigating the truth of Christianity.
Right, and that's something that an organization like Reasons to Believe, which produces this show, it's something that we love to hear.
Exactly.
And I love that you found that through our organization.
I did. I actually, so once I watched that video, I started watching more of Hugh's videos. And then I was diving deeper and I ended up reading his books. And then I got into reading William Lane Craig's books. And then I was just learning that there's something actually called apologetics, something that is actually giving a defense for Christianity. And it's just, it's a great process and something I believe everybody needs to be at least look into so that you can help defend your faith.
Right. No, completely. And it's like if you believe or not believe, invest in that and know why you believe or know why you don't believe.
Right.
So what was kind of the tipping point for you that, I mean, was it a single tipping point or was this collection of answers?
There was one moment that happened right before I received Christ. I had a big list of questions. This was 2 or 3 pages of full of questions that my wife was sending me to a theologian to go answer. And I went to his house and met with him, never really talked to him before, but I sat down with these 3 pages of questions and asked him one by one. Each one he went through answering every single question that I had. And I got to the end of the page, and he looks at me and he's like, "Do you believe it?" I said, "I think I do. I think I do believe." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Okay." He's like, "Then give your life to Jesus." And that moment, I don't think I really did it. That I was just kind of like, "Okay, I'm there." Right. But it was actually on the car ride home when in my head I was like, "Okay, this is it. I'm giving my life to you. Wow. I'm going to put my trust in you. I do believe this is true."
Yeah, and that was how long ago?
This was 5 years ago.
Okay,
it's been 5 years
ago.
So my whole journey has been longer than 5 years. It started long before, but since I've been a Christian, it's been about 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So then, what now? Like, you've done the work and you've investigated, you've found answers, and you've come to agree that God is your Savior. So now what are you doing with that?
So the moment that I gave my life to Christ, I was no longer looking for the evidence to just prove that Christianity was true, but I got excited, and I actually wanted to know more about God. And so I studied and studied and studied, and I would take apologetic courses online and anything I could do to just get as much information as in my head as I could, because I wanted to know God. I wanted to know attributes of Him, and I wanted to know everything that I could, and I would do Bible studies. And I had a huge craving to just share with people what I found, because when I talk to unbelievers, the majority of the answer, or the time when I ask them if they believe in God, the main answer I get is, "I never really thought about it," because they're too distracted. It's tough questions that people don't really question anymore because of the distractions of life, but they're important questions.
Right.
And even with believers, when I ask them why they believe in God, "Well, I just have faith." But what happens when you give that answer to someone who's genuinely curious and genuinely open to looking at the evidence, and you just say, "Well, you just have to have blind faith." I think that all of us need to at least look into apologetics and be able to defend at least the fundamentals of what we believe, why we believe what we believe.
Right, and that is what apologetics is. So if anyone is unfamiliar, it's the ability to defend the faith, and not like in an antagonistic way, but in a way that shares really the hope that we have. So what would you say for anyone who's watching, and they might have a loved one seeking, or they maybe aren't even investing time to seek, but they'd like to just invite them to explore? What would you say are some good ways to start a conversation?
I would say, first off, don't do what I did at the beginning and go into it and just throw up information on them. Because a lot of times you're going to be giving them a bunch of this evidence that they're probably not even questioning. So you have to ask them questions to kind of get their perspective on what they actually believe. You say, "Well, do you believe in God?" They may say, "No, I don't believe in God." Well, say, why don't you believe in God? What are some of the reasons that you don't believe? And they may give an answer like, "Well, I don't think science is compatible with Christianity. Science is, we know that as a fact, so Christianity can't be true." And you just kind of go at it and say, "Well, how did you come to that conclusion?" Because then they have to think back why they actually believe what they believe. And then you can go into it after that. Once you get enough information from them, you can say, "Well, have you ever considered this?" And that's when you can give a response. Not a reaction. Don't get hostile. Even if they do, it's just give a response. And a lot of times people are open to that. I talk to unbelievers almost every day. And a lot of them are really genuinely open to at least listening. And even if it's just planting one seed with somebody in a grocery store that's wearing a shirt that you bring up, and you bring up God in that topic, even if you plant that one seed, there's no telling what God's going to do with it.
Yeah. So what would be, because you said, like, "Have you considered this?" What would be something that you would say, "Have you considered this?" What's that specific thing?
Well, if their response is, "Well, I don't think that science is compatible with Christianity," your response would be, "Well, first, how did you come to that conclusion?" They're going to say, "Well, I hear it everywhere. That's what I hear, that science isn't compatible with Christianity." And you say, "Well, have you ever considered that it is?" Because if you look at some of the accounts, the science does fit there. I mean, there are spots where it is compatible. And that's when you can kind of show them and share them with them the evidence that you've found. And And also not to be scared to give responses. So one thing I would not do is if you don't know the answer to a question that they ask, don't try to come up with it.
Right.
Just say, I don't know, but let me find out.
Right.
Because I think that's why a lot of us are scared to actually engage with unbelievers, because we're afraid they're going to ask us a question that we don't know. Mm-hmm. And the moment that they ask us that question and we can't respond, we get nervous and then we just throw something out there.
Right.
And when you do that, it's not a good perspective from what they're seeing. It's better to just be humble and say, unfortunately, I don't know the answer to that question, but I can and will look into it for you.
Yeah, and I think that's wonderful advice. And I love that Reasons to Believe played a role in that.
Absolutely.
All of the questions that you had, I know we have content on
you do.
Those
Absolutely.
Questions.
Yeah.
So I think that's hopefully a great plug for reasons.org and letting people know they can find answers there too.
So I actually also... Within my house, I taught the Why the Universe is the Way It Is, his course.
Yeah.
I'll bring unbelievers into my house, and surprisingly, they're open to it.
Yeah.
And you guys have played such a huge, huge part in my journey.
Well, Absolutely. Thank you so much. And we're very excited for your documentary coming out. So if you'd like to hear more from Michael Lewis, go to universedesigned.com.
A popular narrative in our culture today is that a conflict exists between science and the Christian faith. Skeptics argue that science makes belief in God unreasonable and renders the biblical creation accounts unbelievable. But is this the case? To help me answer this question today, I'm joined by Dr. Eddie Del Rio, a medical doctor and a Christian. Eddie, what would you say to someone who says, there's conflict between science and the Christian faith?
Well, AJ, it sort of depends on who I'm speaking with and the context that we're standing in. I have basically a light and medium and kind of heavy answers that I use depending on the situation.
Okay, so let's hear your light answer first. Let's say we're in the elevator together and I've just made some kind of comment that these two things are in conflict.
Well, I would say, is there a conflict? I would say, no, there is no conflict. All we have to do is examine the history of science, especially of the scientific revolution. Modern science was born in Christian Europe. It wasn't born in Taoist Japan, Buddhist China, Hindu India, or in the pantheistic or spiritist islands around the world. It was born in the heart of what some may call Christendom. And some of the famous scientists were the ones who even brought new branches of science to be and had laws and constants named after them. People that come to mind are like Pascal, Newton, Faraday, Boyle. There's a light elevator answer for you.
There you go. And you could always throw Kepler in there, too.
Of course.
So that's great. Okay, let's say I had a little bit more time. We're standing around drinking a cup of coffee together. What would be your coffee answer or medium answer?
My medium answer. In that case, I would say, no, there isn't a conflict. And I would say that the following things that we observe, I believe, are better explained by the God hypothesis than naturalism. One would be that there is a universe that exists at all. The universe is contingent. It didn't have to be. It wasn't a necessity. But yet we have it. But more impressively, there's organization in the universe. And the universe is finely tuned so that it operates in such a manner that life is even possible. Thirdly, I would say that the existence of life at all is amazing, in that when we think about life at the cellular level, as you very well know, life is about creating and maintaining these disequilibrium of substances in order to drive metabolism and other things. And I want to emphasize, create a sequestered and maintain this disequilibrium. However, nature is all about seeking equilibrium. In fact, if this equilibrium happens in a cell, we call it death. So what we have is nature is, in a sense, trying to kill us with equilibrium, yet we have life. And finally, another thing that is easier and more convincingly explained by the God hypothesis is consciousness from matter. The fact that we can even think about thinking.
Yeah, That's pretty remarkable. And it's really hard to understand how a naturalistic mechanism might explain that type of leap to consciousness, right?
So, yes.
So that's a great coffee answer, and I'm sure that I would engage you much more with more questions as we really try.
All of these answers are designed to enable further conversation.
Great. So let's see, your heavy answer. I guess that's if we had the afternoon to knock some things around. Where would you lead in? How would you lead into your heavy answer?
These concepts are a little more difficult, and they would be a philosophical answer. There is a famous Christian theist, analytic philosopher named Alvin Plantinga. Mm-hmm. And he actually wrote a book that answers the very question you asked me. The title of the book is Where the Conflict Lies, Science, Religion, Naturalism. The book is not easy reading, as most philosophy books aren't, but he very convincingly makes the case that, in fact, I'll quote from him. He says this. He says, there is superficial conflict, but deep accord between science and theistic religion. However, there is superficial concord, but deep conflict between science and naturalism. The consequences of that thought he expresses in the book is that a naturalist really has no warrant or grounding for trusting their reason or ability to seek and know truth. He makes the case that there's nothing in naturalism that requires us to think true thoughts. In fact, he goes on to say that natural selection is interested not in truth, but in appropriate behavior. Well, as you very well know, natural selection's business is two items, survival and reproduction.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so basically Plantinga is arguing that there's nothing that requires our thoughts to actually be true in order to produce the end result of survival and reproduction.
Yeah.
I would add one more thing.
Okay.
Some people may say, but he's a theistic philosopher. The same problem of the conflict between science and naturalism is dealt with by an atheistic philosopher, a very distinguished man named Thomas Nagel. He wrote a book, the title of which is Mind and Cosmos, but it's the subtitle that really says it all. Why the materialist neo-Darwinian conception of nature is almost certainly false.
Hmm.
So even atheist philosophers have found the problems here.
So that's great. Thanks, Eddie. And what I heard you say is whether it's a light, medium, or heavy answer, your answer is basically no. And that the conflict doesn't really exist between science and the Christian faith, but the greater conflict is between science and naturalism.
That is correct, AJ.
Thanks, Eddie.
Hello, Jeff Zwerink here. Welcome to Science Faith Connection. This is a segment of our show where we explore important scientific ideas and how they help you become more convinced of the truth of Christianity. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Hugh Ross, and we're going to discuss what he finds as potent evidence for the God of the Bible. Hugh, it's good to have you here today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Jeff.
So, Hugh, I just want to throw the question out here to you. I know you've done a lot of work. Obviously, you lead Reasons to Believe, which is a science faith organization. What evidence did you find, or as you studied science, what did you find that led you to believe that a God existed?
Well, as you know, I was studying astronomy since I was 7 years of age. And when I hit 16, I realized there is now overwhelming evidence that the universe had a beginning. If there's a beginning, there has to be a beginner. So that's what got me on a quest to try to find the cosmic beginner. And as I went on that quest, I discovered, hey, the universe seems to have highly fine-tuned characteristics that makes not only the existence of life possible, but we human beings in particular. I was also struck by, as I began to go through the Bible, how it claimed that we humans were the epitome of his creation and that we were spiritual beings. And so the scientific evidence for human exceptionalism and for the fact that science is showing that we humans are different from other life forms and that we have a dual nature. that's already compelled me to really get into the Bible in more depth. And finally, I recognize, hey, there really is a God that inspired the Bible in an errant way. And that's what motivated me to sign my life in the back of a Gideon Bible, giving my life to Jesus Christ.
So this was more than just finding that there was some God out there that existed. You've actually done some work to figure out which God it was. What is it that it drew you to say it's got to be the God of the Bible and not some other God?
Well, I looked at the other holy books that undergird the religions of the world. And so as I went through those books, I realized that they were filled with scientific errors. And when I looked at the Bible, I saw there was an absence of those errors. Not that I didn't see problems in the Bible, but I saw no provable scientific or historical errors. And so the fact that it got it right, that it got the sequence of events in the creation accounts in Genesis 1 correct, that it correctly described everything, I knew that was way beyond the science of the biblical author. And so that told me, hey, this book has predictive power. And also going through it and seeing how it predicted future historical events and did so with 100% precision. So it says this can't be a book that's just invented by humans. It must be inspired by the one that actually created the universe and set up humanity and human history.
What are some of the, what are kind of what maybe one, two, three of the most significant pieces of evidence that you would say point to scripture being right, that it got the science right, that the God of the Bible is correct? What are the two, three pieces of evidence you think you provide, you think them are the most compelling?
Well, what really impacted me as a young man was the development of the space-time theorems, which was consistent with the Bible's claim that there is a beginning to the universe that included a beginning of space and time. So personally for me, that was significant in my early Christian years. And then just seeing the mounting evidence for the fine-tuned designs and seeing that the designs of the universe were much more significant in the context of what you needed for plants and animals than what you needed for microbes and what you needed for humans compared to plants and animals, and particularly seeing how the universe, the Earth and Earth's life was designed to make possible the redemption of billions of human beings. So that kind of moved me. The space-time theorems established for me that there has to be a deistic God, the fine-tuned designs that there must be a personal God that cares for his creation and is intimately involved with his creation. But as I went through the fine-tuning and the scientific evidence for human exceptionalism, this is what told me it's the God of the Bible, a God for whom the creation of humanity is the epitome of his creation and his desire to bring billions of humans into a redemptive relationship, redeems us from sin and evil. So seeing how the universe is designed for the eradication of sin and evil, that was probably the most significant thing that told me this is not just the God of Islam or the God of Hinduism or Buddhism. This is the God of the Bible, the Christian God.
You know, if I'm listening and hearing what you're saying, it's like, you know, you initially found that there was evidence for a beginning to the universe. As you've looked, you found evidence for design or that the Bible matched the chronology. But it seems like there's this kind of depth as the more you've studied, the more you see evidence for the God of the Bible. Is that an accurate characterization of what you're saying?
Yes. And what particularly motivated me in that pursuit, even before I was a Christian, was reading passages in the Bible that said, the more you learn about nature, the more you're going to discover the supernatural handiwork of God. So I said, I'm going to put that to the test, dig into nature more and really see if this bears out. And the fact that it did, that was kind of the clincher for me.
So I take a little bit of a different tact here. You know, I think you obviously have found a lot of evidence that supports the idea that the God of the Bible is the creator of everything. Do you think science proves that God exists?
Well, Jeff, that all depends on how someone defines proof. I run into a lot of unbelievers that say, I'm not going to believe until you can give me absolute proof of God's existence. And I have to share with them, look, in science, you can't come up with absolute proof of anything. We're never going to learn 100% about the universe. I think you can say the same thing about human history. We're never going to learn 100% about the human historical record. But we're going to learn enough that we can develop practical proof. I mean, I married my wife without absolute proof that she existed, but had lots of practical evidence. And so there reaches a point where you got a high enough probability that something is true, that it's worth acting upon. And I kind of was encouraged by what I saw in Thessalonians. Test everything, hold on to that which is good. And so if you've got mounting evidence that tells you it's good and true, incorporate that. You'll live your life accordingly. And if you do, you'll find even more evidence. So that evidence will be increasingly affirmed. But it is crucial we not only put things to the test, we actually act upon what we now have proven to be good and true.
So, you know, it's very clear that you found a lot of evidence to support that the God of the Bible exists. And I'm with you in that. As it comes to the science, how have you been able to use that? And what would you give us maybe a one or two practical pointers for how people can use that to share the gospel?
Well, you know, if I run into someone who's not a believer and they're a skeptic and they're skeptical of my claims, I say, hey, you know, give it a test. Let's see what happens in the next month or two. And if the scientific evidence for the God of the Bible increases rather than decreasing, that's good evidence that you're on the pathway to truth. And you know, give it a go and talk to people who have actually made a deeper exploration than you have and take it from there. And that's the whole point. The more you study nature, the more evidence you'll accumulate for the God of the Bible. So just simply put it to the test and see what happens. But again, if it does prove to be true, you need to act upon it.
Well, thanks, you. I really appreciate your comments. I found this very encouraging, and I think our audience will as well. You know, one of the things that I love about hearing Hugh talk about science and faith is hearing his journey, that this isn't something that he's read in a book and said, oh, this is great to go out and tell people. It's something that he's practically lived. He's looked and seen that there's a beginning to the universe, and the scientific account matches the biblical account. It's become part of his testimony, part of his journey. So when he's sharing science apologetics, he's just sharing his testimony. You know, I would encourage you to go to reasons.org and check out Hugh's book, Always Be Ready. It helps you understand his journey, but will also give you pointers on how you can make it part of your testimony so that you can go out and share the good news that God has given to you.
That does it for us this week on 2819. We hope you enjoyed this episode and that it helped you to share your faith with confidence and compassion.
Yeah.
So, Sandra, I love this episode. I loved your conversation you had with Michael. Mm. So, anyway, what was your takeaway from that, or did you learn anything from the Science Faith Connection? How are you feeling about today's episode?
You know, I think that I really love talking with Michael Lewis, first of all. Just hearing about his journey, hearing that RTB resources in particular were kind of instrumental in getting him deeply curious about his faith and about coming back to faith. I was just really humbled by that. And then to hear that his motivation kind of was similar to Hugh's, in that he went into this exploration thinking, this can't be true, and I'm going to show you all how it isn't. And then he actually came to faith. I think that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. Definitely, you know, people should be on the lookout for whoever's the Michael Lewis in their life and someone that's really looking for those answers before they can make that step into accepting Christ.
Right. Well, you know, speaking of answers, a lot of times people don't know how to answer difficult questions concerning science and faith. So we have a brand new resource. It's called Ask RTB. It's an app. It's available for Apple and Android phones and platforms. So be sure to look for that, because you can find a lot of really quick answers to common questions that people ask having to do with science and faith.
Yeah, definitely. I've been playing around with it. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. You can ask it questions. You can just search topics. So if you want to search evolution, universe, things like that, or ask it a full-on question. But great app. It's there's kind of some AI behind it, so it's new and it's still learning. Mm-hmm. So the more you use it, the better the app is going to be. So we definitely want to encourage you to download it and use it as much as you can.
And you know what? Speaking of phones, be sure to get your phone and search for us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at 2819 Show. We'd love to connect with you and hear what you think about this episode.
Yeah, definitely a lot of follow-ups, things you can do. But anyway, if you love this show and maybe you want to listen to us on the go, you can get a podcast version of 2819. We're on most major podcast services. Just search Reasons to Believe Podcast.
See you next week.
Bye.